Psalm 139. So if you want to open it in the Pew Bible, then you have it there as we refer to it. Pictures often say a lot for us. And I came across this one that just simply says that we perplexed face that just says, the more I think, the more confused I get. And there are times when we do feel a bit like that. The more we try to think through something, the more we try to think about something, often the more confused we get. And we can end up all of these things. And when we're in that situation, what you want is someone or something that's going to lead you clearly through that. What you want is some sort of reference point that will take you out of that unclear, baffled, confusing situation. And again, it points to the danger of people who create God in their own minds. This is how I like to think of God. Because when we do that, we create a God that is not any bigger than we are. And if that's the case, then this is a God who will be as confused and baffled as we are. What this psalm points to quite clearly is a very, very different God. A God who is not baffled or confused or puzzled by life. A God who sees and knows. And this is the God the Bible holds up before us. And it is why, again, it is so important that we have a true picture of the God whom we worship. That we don't restrict this God to something very small that we can fit into our own heads, that we can begin to understand and shape and mold to our own ends. This is the God who is greater than we can ever imagine. This is the God of the Bible. And we look for that true picture. This is the God who knows it all. That's all the way through this psalm, the God who knows everything. So there's no question that can confound him. We might be confused, but not God. There's no problem that will leave him stumped. There is no event that will surprise him. There is nothing that is news to God. Nothing will sneak up on him. This is the God who sees and knows. He also knows how things work, how things work together. You remember at the end of the book of Job, Job has all these questions about why am I going through all that I'm going through? And God simply throws out some questions to Job. Job, do you know the laws that govern the skies? Job, do you know how the clouds move across the sky? Do you know how the rain falls? Job, do you understand these things? Do you know these things? Where God put them in place. He knows them, he understands them. Psalm 104, we read, you created the moon to mark off the seasons, and the sun knows when to go down. This is God at work in creation. We marvel at these things. We wonder about them. God knows. The God who sees and knows. The God whose knowledge is too wonderful for us. And that's a great thing. Again, this is the God who is too big to squeeze into our little heads, too great for our imagination, and his knowledge is too wonderful, too lofty for us to attain. That's the God we want, the God who sees and knows and understands, the God who is in control. Not a God that we control, but the God who is in control. The God for whom past and future are really irrelevant. Because here's the truth. God knows who and where you will be in 10 years' time, just as he knows where you were and who you were 10 years ago. Past and future mean nothing to God because he knows. He sees. He understands. He never runs out of memory space. The frustration of the digital age. never suffers it. Keeps track of the moon and the stars. Not a sparrow falls to the ground except he knows about it. The latest count of the hairs on her head, he has it. Everything, the writer to the Hebrews says, everything is uncovered and laid bare before the eyes of him to whom we must give account. Everything. Nothing. Nothing you do, nothing you say, nothing you think escapes the attention of God. Now, maybe that's a worrying thing. We remember the times when we did something incredibly stupid, and you just hope nobody was around to see it. But there was. You remember the times when you did something incredibly well, and you hoped somebody was around to see it, and there was. And so David simply writes, Lord, you have examined me and you know me. You know everything I do. David could have sung, I'm special, because he knew that God knew him. He knew that God knew all about him and still loved him. Trying to get our little grandson off to sleep is often a day's work, never mind a night's work. And often when you think he's away, an eye will open and he'll have a quick squint round just to make sure there's somebody still there. Just to make sure there's somebody still keeping an eye on him. And when he sees somebody, the eyes close and away he goes again. Sometimes that's our feeling about God. We go through difficult times, we go through good times, and we open an eye and wonder, is God watching? The truth of this psalm is that God never stops watching. Before a word is on my tongue, you know it completely, O Lord. He knows what we're going to say. He sees our blood starting to boil. He knows that we're about to burst. He sees it and he knows it. He sees the fears that we have, the anxieties that keep us awake at night. This is the God who sees and knows. But it's both good and bad that God sees and knows it all. Verse 6, again, of this psalm, this idea of God's knowledge of us is so deep. Too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. If God keeps such a close eye on you, it can only be for one reason. What do you keep a close eye on? You keep a close eye on something that's precious, something that's special. The crown jewels are watched 24 hours a day, 365 days a year, and the extra one in the leap year as well. Why? Because they're precious. They're special. You only keep watch over something that's precious to you. If it's something you're not worried about, you won't keep an eye on it. The fact that God keeps a watch on you means that you are special in his eyes, means that you are precious to him. And there's bad news and good news to the fact that he will keep his eye on us. The fact that God never takes his eyes off us may cause us to squirm a little. Even sitting here, we may begin to feel uncomfortable because of things that we've said or done, things that we've watched. God never misses. And it's uncomfortable. If he knows me this well, he knows all of my darkest secrets. He knows the things that no one else knows about me. There is, if you like, a bad news side to this. God never taking his eye off us. I remember as a wee fellow, my dad painting the door frame the kitchen door, lovely gloss white, and he was quite meticulous about painting. There would never be a brush mark. There would certainly never be a hair from the brush left in it. And it was left there, and I watched him. And his parting words as he moved away were, "Don't touch that." Well, what a thing to say to a wee fella, "Don't touch that." So I had to have a poke at it. And of course, white gloss paint, well, you rub it off, so it's on, and then it's on there. And well, soon it was everywhere. Me, my clothes, the kitchen table, everywhere I tried to get rid of this stuff, it was there. Now, it didn't really take a forensic scientist to look at the fingerprint on the doorpost and look at this wee fella running about covered in white gloss paint to put the things together. The God who never takes his eye off us. Some of us even here this morning are involved in things that God wants us to have no part in. It challenges us because he's watching us. And we would rather hide just as I did with that paint all over me, but there's no getting away from it. But here's the good news. The good news of this bad news is that we don't have to spend sleepless nights wondering when God is going to find us out. He already knows. There is nothing about you that God does not already know. You don't have to wait until he finds out. You don't have to worry if he will ever find out. He already knows. So what do we do? Well, we need to come clean with God to confess, because there is nowhere to hide. That's the bad news of this God never taking his eye off us. There is nowhere for us to hide. And so the psalmist remembers that, and right at the end he simply says, "Search me, O God, know my heart, test me, know my anxious thoughts, see if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." This cry out to God, which should be our cry too. Now you could read these couple of verses and think, well, maybe the psalmist is just playing with God. Well, maybe there is something offensive in me. Maybe there is a sinful way in me, but that's for me to know and you to find out. The truth is God already knows. The psalmist is just laying his life open before God and saying, "I know some of my sinfulness, but there's more there. Search me, reveal it to me, know my heart, know my anxious thoughts. And if there's anything offensive in me, take it from me." In spite of what God knows about you, he still loves you. We talk about unconditional love. This is it. This is the God who knows absolutely everything about us and yet still loves us in Jesus Christ. There is something in all of us that thinks, if they knew that about me, would they love me? God knows all about us and yet still loves us in Jesus Christ. Here's what the Bible says. If we confess our sins, it's not telling God something he doesn't know. It's being honest before God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all righteousness. This is what the psalmist was talking about. Search me, O God. Know my heart. Know my anxious thoughts. There is good news in the midst of this bad news that God is always watching us. He calls us to turn away, to repent, to come back to him. And here's his promise. He is faithful. He will forgive. He will purify us from all unrighteousness when we are open and honest before him. There is a bad news side to the fact that God never takes his eye off us because there is no hiding place. There is also a good news side of the fact that God never takes his eye off us. And it's this one, just exactly the same. There's nowhere to hide. I love these verses in the middle of the psalm. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me, your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me, and the light become night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like the day, for darkness is as light to you. This wonderful picture of the fact that there is no hiding place. There is no hiding place from God. There is nowhere where your mobile phone will not go off. There is no hiding place from God. And that's a great comfort. It can be a scary thing, a terrifying thing, but it's a great comfort because whatever it is that you go through in life, God knows and He's with you and He never takes His eye off you. All of us are wounded in some way. God knows that. He hasn't missed it. It hasn't somehow just got past Him. All of us have dreams that are shattered, ambitions that never quite came through. We spend sleepless nights remembering things that we've gone through, anxious about what we might go through. But the truth of this psalm is this. There is no hurt, no scar, no wound, no anxiety that escapes His notice. He knows you. You cannot get away from His love and His care. No matter what you go through. Psalm 56 talks about tears being listed on God's scroll, tears being recorded by God. And the picture is of apparently in the days of the Old Testament, when soldiers were going off to war, they would have given their loved ones these little bottles that they could gather up their tears in. It was a way of showing how precious their loved ones were, this little tear bottle. God has gathered up, recorded all your tears. There's not one that He doesn't know about. What no other person knows about you, God knows. God cares. And that's a comfort. That's a strength. Sometimes we do feel alone. Sometimes it's easy to feel isolated that no one else knows or understands what we go through. God knows. He is there with you. He also knows all those little acts of love and service that you do. Matthew 6, Jesus simply says, your Father sees what you do in private and He will reward you. You always have an audience of one. God knows. It's not that those acts of love and care and service make God love you anymore. Nothing could do that. But they don't go unnoticed. The truth of this psalm is of a God who will never let you go. One of the take-home thoughts from New Horizon for me this year comes from the Psalms, the 23rd Psalm, which we've read so often, sung so often, we've heard it so often. That verse that simply says, goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life. And the man who's taking the Bible readings in the morning simply said, sometimes we see that as goodness and mercy ambling along behind us, following us somewhere. But he said, no, that's not true. The word follow there is the word of a predator pursuing its prey, of a hunter pursuing after his prey. And so really the thought in that psalm is of goodness and mercy that will pursue us all our days. Never let us out of His sight. Never let us out of His care. It's at the heart of the psalm. The God who sees and knows. The God who loves us so much that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but rather have eternal life. This is the God who calls us to know him, to love him, to worship him in Jesus Christ. Don't settle for a smaller God. Don't settle for a God that you can manage, shape, and mold. Settle for this God who loves you without measure. Shall we pray together? Father, thank you for every way that you have shown your love and your care, and forgive us that we can take these things for granted. And so in these moments, in these days, Lord, remind us that we are never out of your sight, never removed from your care. Work in us by your Holy Spirit. And this we ask in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.